Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Peter King on board, our weekly conversation with the Monday morning quarterback. If you don't read the MMQB, then you're really not a football fan. I just have to say. And we're a fan of all Arizona sports, obviously, things that are happening, I don't know, high school, college, pro. Obviously, the big story right now is the Cardinals. But there's so much going on other than just the NFL, and we bring you this daily show, things that we see going on in the world of sports, and other stuff that's on my mind. But obviously, we're all about the Cardinals for the show today with Peter King jumping on board with us. In a couple of weeks, it'll be National Letter of Intent Day in college football. And I know the college football fans and high school fans that have seen us grow through the years, you expect that content. You can find it up on sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We partner with AZ Central Sports, and we are proud to partner with them. Thanks for them coming on board with us as well. And tonight, we'll have our television show on Fox Sports Arizona. Are we on, there's a Suns game tonight, so I think it's like 6, 10, 30, 1, and 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. I saw where the 1 a.m. show got like the biggest number ever. Go figure. I don't know. It was a pretty darn good show for all of them, but it's, do you ever see the 1 a.m. show, Eric?
Not once.
That's the DVR show.
Well, I DVR all of them, so yeah. I kind of watch it at my convenience.
At your leisure? Your leisure? So Peter will be with us today. I want to work the Eagles in with Peter and Glenn Frey, but I don't think I'm going to have time because I was bummed about Glenn Frey yesterday. Any guy that is not into the Eagles, I don't know. You're just not worth my time. Are you into the Eagles? If you say no, you're not worth my time.
I wouldn't say no. It's just not really my generation.
Oh, are you saying I'm old then?
It's not really my generation. I'm not calling you old. I'm just saying it's not my generation.
Do you ever drive along and Hotel California comes on the radio and you start singing?
No, because I don't listen to stations that play Hotel California.
Oh, I see. Again, I am old.
I didn't say you're old. It's just not my time. There's a difference.
Last night...
You're really good at putting words in my mouth. Not just putting them in, but shoving them down my throat and making me choke on them.
I was driving home, and I was at a stoplight that seemed like a long time, so I flipped it over to Thunderstruck. You know, I just had to have some AC/DC while I was going down the hall. And that's where it is. So Glenn Frey, that's part of the deal. That's a big thing. And I know Peter is very much into the music scene. So we'll talk with Peter King about all things. Come on in. They can come on in. I don't care. Come on in. Just go on, you know, come in. We have some construction going on, and it's fine. It's something that you guys are going to like to see as we go along. I'm not going to show it to you today, but I'll just say that we're going to have a cigar bar here.
We play right through this stuff too.
We're going to have
people come in the studio, turn on the lights, turn them off.
Turn off the lights. Sure.
Yeah.
While I'm on the air.
We're in the dark.
That's great.
Hello.
In the dark.
I'm not.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's amateur hour here. Peter King will join us in a couple of minutes. Let's get into some of the things going on in my mind today in the world of sports outside of the Cardinals game, because we'll talk to Peter about that. There is one interesting note, though, Eric. Did you see that the Carson Palmer and Cam Newton angle? This Carson Palmer-Cam Newton angle, it's the first time in the history of the NFL playoffs that two Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks have started against one another. Just when you think you've seen it all, I never knew that there had never been a meeting of Heisman Trophy-winning quarterbacks. So Carson and Cam on Sunday, I think that's very cool. Very much looking forward to that. First time that they've squared off against one another in the history of the NFL playoffs. I like that angle. Last night, I did find myself watching a little bit of the Cavaliers and Warriors game because there was no reason to watch more than a little bit of it. The Cavaliers are not good. It is, I don't know, what is it, the 19th of January? So it looked like they just mailed it in and said, we'll get back to you come May. That's why I'm not happy with the NBA at this point in time, because I think there are games where the guys just don't care. LeBron was trailing by 43 last night at one point. It's the biggest margin he's ever had in a game. But whenever Steph Curry's on, I'll watch Steph Curry. And I love watching Steph Curry. That's what he's all about, 35 points in 28 minutes. So there was that last night. The Suns play tonight. Does Hornacek get fired tonight? Is he going to get fired? Has Robert just turned the switch off? Is he just, we're just this bad? The Suns lost the other night against Minnesota. And I know most of you haven't watched. The benefit of the Cardinals has been the Suns. They've been the total beneficiary of this. Because you haven't been able to follow or don't care to follow just how flat putrid they are. They lost to Minnesota, but I'm here every day. So I don't mind pointing out that our NBA team is just an absolute disaster, train wreck. I said in December that Philadelphia will get to the playoffs quicker than them, and they've done nothing but spiral down the porcelain fixture.
Does it matter if they fire Jeff Hornacek?
I don't think it matters.
I don't think so either. You might as well just ride this out. I mean, the playoffs are out of the question. Any sort of successful season is out of the question.
His contract deal, it's almost as though Robert is taking the franchise and saying, I'm going to run this thing into the ground because I want my new arena, and most people don't care about what's going on with us. So let's just let Jeff, poor Jeff, twist in the wind. These have to be the worst months for Jeff Hornacek. You know, they'll talk about character building and all that stuff and how the timing wasn't right for him when he was with the Suns. When it's all said and done, he'll go elsewhere and he'll be just fine. But to think that he's going to be here 4 years, 5 years, 1 year from now, it's like they're just leveling this thing. And so we have a couple days before we really get into the playoff mode. And I'm not going to sit here with pom-poms all day long talking about the Cardinals game. We have time for that. There's some other things, though. They're pretty annoying, and that's one of them. So that's on my mind today. We're going to take a break a little early because I want to have some time for Justin Upton. And then Peter King will be with us. The Justin Upton story is one of those. And I'll get some playoffs in the next segment, too. I'll get some NFC title game stuff in, some things that are on my mind about Carson and if, in fact, he'll be able to work through it. Larry Fitzgerald penned a really interesting piece at the Players Tribune. That's where players just put their own content up. And I shared it over on my Twitter timeline. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's @BradSusMatt. Put it over on my Facebook page, too. So I'll have some of that in the next segment as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Peter King in 20 minutes.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Occasionally, I'll just read something that somebody wrote rather than putting my spin on it, and then I'll put it on later. And in this case, it's Larry Fitzgerald that wrote this. It showed up, what was this, Eric, like an hour ago?
Yep, I saw it online about an hour ago, so sometime mid-morning.
So, and sometimes guys will just talk into a tape recorder and somebody will transcribe it. Sometimes they'll talk over the phone. You never quite know how these things work out, but the Players Tribune is a website, and it's really good. Is this the one that Jeter's funding, I think?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be a safe place for athletes to go get their message out. And so Larry, Eric sees this, and I start reading it, and it's terrific. We should have got the picture of this to put up on the stream. That's all right. It's called Ode to Arizona, and Larry penned this, and I'm assuming, well, I shouldn't assume, but I'm thinking he penned this here in the last couple of days. It's been a long road to get here. I've been following it for 12 years now since this franchise drafted me, and a lot of Cardinal fans have been following it since 1988 when the team first arrived here. Right now, the destination, it's in our sights. When you're in the process of working on a project, sometimes it's difficult to stop and take a look at what's been accomplished. Very true. But I want to take a moment to reflect on how far this team and this city have come in recent years. This is Larry Fitzgerald writing this. When I first got to Arizona in 2004, it seemed like the focus wasn't on winning a Super Bowl so much as fighting the perception that we couldn't win a Super Bowl here. It's very smart. Larry writes, I've always felt a responsibility to change that perception. This team used the third overall pick in the draft on me. And in my mind, there's a certain obligation that comes along with that. It means you're expected to be a difference maker. It means you're expected to be part of the foundation. Of course, when you're just a young kid like I was, you're fueled by so many dreams and ambitions. But what you don't know yet is the way to accomplish those goals. It's difficult to understand that it's a process, sometimes a slow one. There's no one perfect roadmap. But all these years later, there's nothing I take back. I feel like I've been through so much with this team and this city. In so many ways, we've grown together. When I was first drafted, this was the place where I played football. Now it's my home. It's where my family lives. It's where I've created a life. And this city has grown. Like myself, many people have chosen Phoenix as their second home. Every year I notice more people wearing our jerseys and flying our colors. I can't tell you how much that means to us, because for a long stretch of time, it wasn't all that easy being a Cardinal fan. He's hitting some really good points here. My first few years in the league, this team was in the midst of another long playoff drought. I learned early on that winning doesn't just happen all at once. Winning is a culture. It's very true. So that's what we set out to create. And little by little, things have changed. This is Larry Fitzgerald writing this today on the Players Tribune. This is really good. In 2009, we almost became champions. The team started getting noticeably better. The talent started meshing together. We began winning games in which everyone counted us out. It was all kind of a whirlwind looking back. This was the first time the franchise had made the playoffs in a decade, and all we did was come within one possession of winning the Super Bowl. I think we kind of took the entire league, the entire country really, by surprise. We broke the mold of what kind of football people expect to be played in the desert. The loss to the Steelers still stings, talking about the Super Bowl. I think it still stings for every Cardinal fan. There aren't many days that go by when I don't think about that game. I wonder about certain plays that could have changed the outcome. It's impossible not to. Every once in a while, I'll see a replay of that Super Bowl pop up on the NFL Network and immediately have to reach for the remote as if the scariest part of the horror movie is about to happen. I still can't bear to watch it. You can come close. You can come close. This is Larry Fitzgerald writing this. But the difference between being a champion and wondering what if is so, so thin. That's the thing that makes football so beautiful yet so challenging. Even a very good team can have one bad game at the wrong time, and then their legacy will never be the same. What I learned is that greatness is determined by how a franchise bounces back from disappointment. In retrospect, I think that the entire experience helped put this team in the position it's in today. Honestly, it sparked something really special. We came away from that game unsatisfied, which is very different than being defeated. Everyone had a certain confidence that this wasn't going to be the last time we played for a Super Bowl. Once we proved to ourselves that we could make it there, it made us that much hungrier to make it back. More changes came in the form of brand new practice facilities, still the nicest I've ever seen. When we come into work, we look at our surroundings and feel really fortunate to be members of this franchise. And so we carried ourselves a little differently. We saw the investment being made in our growth, and we wanted to pay it back. You want me to keep going on this? Am I reading all right for you? You want me to stop?
Yeah. I mean, how much is left?
It's 20 pages.
I was about to say, I don't know if we need to do the entire segment of just you reading this. It's available online.
But this is really good. How about this part? Getting Carson Palmer was very, very big. Everyone knows that. His experience at the position and his leadership energized us. He's the captain of the offense, and we all follow his lead. But we also added other skilled veteran guys. Guys like Frosty Rucker, Gerard Powers, Jared Valdir, Chris Johnson, and Dwight Freeney. How fun has it been to watch Dwight Freeney spinning around offensive linemen this year? These aren't just players who are immensely talented. They're hungry. They've been around this league and understand what we're building towards. So this is all up on the Players Tribune, and it's terrific.
Yeah, it's just so open and honest and forthcoming and refreshing.
Yeah.
Because they're taking it. He's sort of peeling back layers that we don't usually hear when we see him in the locker room, and it's X's and O's and how is your hands or how are your quads or are you hurt or...
Did I ever tell you the story about my daughter?
You did.
Yeah, okay.
You did.
Yeah.
And just as we hit the show today, Larry got another nice little plug as he is now the SI cover boy. We have it.
Of course.
We're going to show it to you.
Of course he is.
There it is.
Is that a jinx? Do we wish this wouldn't have happened?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Do we wish this wouldn't have happened?
Oh, no. Now you started that avalanche.
Do we wish this wouldn't have happened? Is this a little too much? Do you wish that this was Cam Newton on the cover? No, I mean, look, it's the best finish ever. Is it the best finish ever?
No, not in my opinion.
Because if you're going to put best finish ever, you've got to put Aaron Rodgers on there too, correct?
We've had Super Bowls end on the very, very last play of regulation. We've had game-winning field goals.
That, we've had game-missing field goals.
Correct. That, to me, is a greater finish than what we saw on Saturday.
Well, now he's on the cover of SI. So the debate about the SI jinx, we don't script this show out. That's the beauty of the show. We don't sit here and have show meetings for hours, and you say this, and I say that, and what's trending, and we don't care.
Yeah, you didn't even know that he was on the cover.
I don't care. Just put it up there. We're just like everybody else going through their day. Peter King here in about 5 minutes, by the way. The Monday morning quarterback who joins us every week. So the SI thing, to me, he's going to get asked about it. And some nitwit like me is going to say, I wouldn't say this to him. But somebody will point out, oh, is this a jinx? I can already see it now. The morning meetings at the local television stations, those are the best. That's when you come in at 9 a.m., having lived that world for 8 years, and you hear some of the dumbest ideas on the face of the planet. Go find the guy that cleans Larry Fitzgerald's pool. Go knock on his door and see if he'll tell you what kind of guy Larry is. That'll be really interesting. No, it's not really interesting. Or what does Larry eat to get to be the player that he is today? I'm fine with that story, but if you want it turned around in 6 hours, good luck with that. So I can see somebody coming up to Larry today in a meeting, and they'll say, well, is Larry available? No, Larry's not available until Thursday. Larry's not talking until Thursday. That's how it works. Today it's Michael Floyd, it's Rashad Powers, and it's David Johnson. They're not going to pull Larry aside so you can ask him, hey, is being on the cover of SI going to jinx you?
Gerard Powers or Rashad Johnson? You combine the two.
What'd I say?
You said...
Gerard Powers? Why I said David Johnson?
You said Rashad.
You correct me. It's fine.
Yeah, Rashad Johnson.
Well, I said Gerard Johnson.
You said Gerard Johnson.
I was getting ahead of myself with David Johnson. So I screw this up. I screw up. It's fine.
Speaking of screw ups, one of the local TV stations, I'm not going to tell anyone which one it is.
I can guess, but go ahead.
No, no, no. We're going to keep that private. But they went on the sportscast last night during the 5 o'clock news when I was watching and said that the Cardinals were undefeated at home this year. A perfect 9-0.
Wow.
They must have forgotten about week 17.
Fact check. No, I mean,
it happens.
It happens. I've made goofs.
We all have.
We've all made goofs, but I made one just like a minute ago and you pointed it out, which is fine. Peter King here in a couple of minutes. Let me get over to Justin Upton. But by the way, go over to Players Tribune, the Players Tribune, and check it out. Justin Upton could have been Larry Fitzgerald. Justin Upton could have been the Larry Fitzgerald yin and yang of Arizona sports. He could have been. He's not. Justin Upton is now on his fourth Major League Baseball team, and he's 28 years of age. Of course, on the bottom line, it points out how many home runs he's hit, and it's the fastest guy to hit this many home runs in the history of Major League Baseball, which doesn't mean jack to me. Because I liked Justin as a kid. I did. And he was force-fed to the Wolves here in Arizona, and they created Uptown and all that nonsense, and he wasn't ready for it. And he wasn't ready for all the money that came his way.
And he's getting a lot more.
Oh, my
gosh. He's got a great agent. He can opt out after the second year.
No, this deal...
The Tigers can't opt out. He can opt out of his six-year, $133 million deal.
This deal, so...
He hit 251 last year, by the way.
Do you want to just do the story?
No.
I think you just did.
No, I'm just...
It's fine.
I am merely just.
Go ahead and take me off camera, Jared.
Nope, I don't want to.
Go ahead and put Eric up full.
Nope, I don't want to. It's your show.
No, you just took it over. It's fine.
I'm just along for the ride.
Did you hear that he hit 251? Did you hear that he can opt out after the second year? Did you hear that he had a limited no trade clause?
I read the story. What can I tell you?
The limited no trade clause. So I didn't see if the Diamondbacks were involved in that or not. I would imagine they are not. But here's a guy that hit 251, but he hit 26 bombs last year.
In San Diego, which is tough to do.
But if I remember correctly, I was going to look this up, but I didn't have time. I think he hit like 10 in April last year. Like he had some monstrous start in San Diego last year. Somebody's going to correct me on it. It's fine. Somebody will fact check it. But I thought he had a quick start last year. But he's 28. He's going on his fourth team. And as Eric said, he gets $132 million. For hitting 251. And he can walk away from Detroit. So this is called, oh my gosh, we have to do anything to compete with what went on in Kansas City. Because the Royals won it all. So the Tigers are just throwing crazy money, and they've made some bad, bad deals here in recent years. But our hometown, Justin Upton, first-round pick, fourth team, he got a big deal last year in San Diego. And I wouldn't say hitting 251 is any great shakes, but man, 130, when I saw this deal, and it's a mid-January signing, meaning he didn't have people all over him in November and December for this thing. Pitchers and catchers report, by the way, in 30 days. Sports360AZ.com, but we have a team going towards a Super Bowl in front of us before that. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Peter King joins us next, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Peter is with us every week talking about things around the Arizona Cardinals, around the National Football League. Peter joins us via Skype, and that is next. Here now is Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. I tell you what, you want more information, more great content around the National Football League, none better than Peter. He joins us via Skype from his home in New York City. I wish we were giving you more to talk about out here. Your column on Monday, I think you could have probably done, I don't know, 10,000 words on everything that happened in the game on Saturday night. Now that you've had some time to reflect, if you have in fact had time, Peter, what jumps out at you about that game that maybe first glance you might have missed or you're diving a little deeper into now?
You know, Brad, I think the biggest thing to me was that it didn't occur to me until I ended up speaking with both Bruce Arians and Larry Fitzgerald on Sunday. And that is that, and just probably three or four things. Number one, you remember the story I wrote a couple of months ago about Carson Palmer and the game plan. And one of the first things that, you know, Larry Fitzgerald said to me when I was talking to him, he said, "Hey, we used your play," meaning that I concentrated on one play back in November.
Right.
And this play called Pistol Strong Left, Stack X 6, Y Cross Divide. And so when I was talking to Bruce Arians, he goes, "Hey, we used that divide play." And I talked to Bruce before I talked to Larry. And so Arians said, "Hey, we used that divide play." And, you know, Larry Fitzgerald had a different role in this play than he had in the Cleveland game. When I wrote about it, he was the go guy. He was the nine route guy, you know, to sprint up the field on Dante Whitner. In this particular case, he was the underneath guy. And you had Michael Floyd and John Brown, the up the field guys. Mm-hmm. And so Larry Fitzgerald ended up trolling the middle of the coverage, and they had no idea that that was going to be empty there. They didn't know. But the way that the Green Bay coverage worked on that play, basically he was all alone in the middle of their zone. And when you're all alone, the only thing that is going to mess that up is if your quarterback either doesn't see or doesn't or can't get you the ball. And because he was almost sacked by Green Bay on the play, you know, that was almost the play that never happened. So anyway, I just, one of those cool stories that Fitzgerald catches it. And look, I tend to probably inflate Larry Fitzgerald's value. I think late in his career, and this is a crazy thing to say, Larry Fitzgerald is a better all-around receiver today than he has been, than he was earlier in his career, for a couple of reasons. Mm-hmm. He realizes that part of his value is also to be, when need be, a crushing blocker. He has become a Keyshawn Johnson-type blocker, a Hines Ward kind of blocker, a willing and really effective blocker, number one. And number two, he genuinely wants J.J. Nelson to have a 100-yard game Sunday. You know, he genuinely wants Michael Floyd, "Come on, Michael, do it, do it." And not necessarily be better than me, but he wants to hold himself up as, you know, as here, and he wants everybody, come on, guys, get up here, mm-hmm. you know, and I think he helps them. He's an invaluable guy during the week with the other receivers on his team. And look, I just I can't say enough about him. I think that game will go down, the game he played, basically having 170 something yards in the second half in that little bit of overtime. That's going to go down as, you know, one of the two or three great games of his career. You know, look, and I know he scored five touchdowns in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl, you know, the year the Cardinals were in it. So I get it. He's never been better than that. But I'll tell you what, he's darn close right now.
Well, and I think what you hit on there is we've seen it out here where he's now a willing blocker. It was not the smoothest move when he went inside. There was a lot of talk, a lot of conversation about that.
Right.
And to the point of, is he even going to be here? Is he going to be priced out in Arizona? And all of that now just sounds, well, it is empty rhetoric. And the value of him to this franchise has never been greater.
Brad, Michael Bidwell, you know, instead of simply saying, you know what, we have to do what's fiscally right for the franchise. I think what the Arizona Cardinals said was, okay, look, even if in our hearts we think we're overpaying for today's value, what we're paying Larry Fitzgerald right now at his age, it turns out they're not, you know, but even if we feel like we're overpaying for this value right now, we want a franchise defining player. Mm-hmm. We want a guy who's going to be a statue alongside Pat Tillman. Out in Glendale. We want somebody who is going to be a billboard legend player for this franchise. And the day he walks into the Hall of Fame, everyone in the state of Arizona is going to puff their chest out a little bit and say, that's our guy. Not that's our guy who played his last 4 years in Jacksonville.
Right.
But he's still our guy. It's our guy who maybe we paid him a little bit more than we wanted to, but who cares, really? You know, the only time I ever get upset about, like, a salary that somebody's making is if you can look at it and you can say, that's going to prevent us from signing the guys we need to sign to get better. You know, and so that's why, to me, Larry Fitzgerald as a Cardinal, until the day he walks off the field for the last time, just makes so much sense.
Well, and here in Arizona, it was Charles Barkley. It was Luis Gonzalez with the game-winning hit off Mariano Rivera. Now it's Larry Fitzgerald at the top of the list. Larry was there with the catch and run against the Steelers in the Super Bowl, but I can't see any other athlete that comes close in our state out here now, Peter, than where Larry is. He's past Charles. He's past Gonzo. He's past everybody out here, Randy, Kurt, all those guys.
Yeah, and, you know, it says something about kind of the influence of the NFL, but also the fact that you want your heroes to have staying power. Mm-hmm. You want your heroes to be around for more than 4 or 5 or 6 years. You just do. You know, there's something about greatness in sports that has become so transient. And I think that that's one of the things, even you said it about, you know, those Diamondbacks guys. I mean, Luis Gonzalez is a sort of a classic longtime Diamondbacks guy and all that. He wasn't at the top of his game, you know, the way Larry Fitzgerald is at the top of the receiving game. But he's really, really a good, good player. So to me, I think they're good comparisons, but I think you're right. I think Larry is the guy who is going to go down as the number one guy in the history of this franchise.
Well, and we want to see guys start and finish, and it looks like he's going to do that. I wouldn't have felt that a couple of years ago. Let's move over here. We're talking with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Let's move over to Carolina. So you were there and saw Carolina last week. Is this a good matchup? If we're just talking pure X's and O's, is this a good matchup for the Cardinals They talk about, Bruce talked about how Cam Newton is a tough matchup, interesting matchup, unique matchup earlier in the week. What do you think about Carolina in the matchup?
See, I think the good matchup for Arizona is the fact that in the secondary of Carolina, you really have an awful lot of, what's the right word? I mean, you've got a lot of question marks.
Sure.
After Josh Norman, because they've had injuries. Ben Wickery and Tillman obviously now being gone. So I think that in that way, it's a good matchup. But I don't think Cam Newton's versatility is a good matchup for anybody in football right now.
Carson Palmer, getting the first win, is there a big sigh of relief? Is that storyline, is that narrative overblown this week? That first playoff win, now it's off his back. He'll be more relaxed because he wasn't good the other night.
No, I know. He didn't play well. He threw a couple of passes that even could have been intercepted. And, you know, the numbers looked really good, but you watch the game and he'll tell you he didn't play great. And look, I think into each life, some strange storylines always fall. And in his life, he's been waiting for that win. And as I wrote in my column, you know, the strangest thing in that game is that the biggest pass in Carson Palmer's professional life, his 13-year professional career, was thrown left-handed. And so, you know, to me, I just think you just take it. You just say, hey, look, I didn't play great. My team bailed me out. We got some breaks, and we had a great drive to start overtime. So, hey, we're moving on. There's no style points here. We're moving on, and we're going to win this game this week. And I think that's the way Palmer has to look at this.
Okay, and then let's talk about Bruce Arians. He gets his first win. It's kind of over loss and all the Carson talk. It's his first postseason victory, and he gets criticized for the play call of throwing and stopping the clock. And the shovel pass ends up being something they've worked on for 2 years, and he's brilliant in that regard. This is who he is. So the gnashing of teeth towards Bruce nationally, I guess because I'm in the middle of the forest on this one, I'm fine with where Bruce Arians is.
Well, I'm not. You know what? Look, this is my take on that play. I love Bruce Arians' bold play calling. I love the way he has taught this team to always be bold. It's going to do you a lot. It's going to do you good things, great things over the long haul. But that doesn't mean that I like that play call. I don't think it was a good play call. Mm-hmm. I think there are sometimes you just kneel down in the victory formation. You take the win. And sometimes you basically say, hey, look, the clock right here is our friend. We want to use as much of this clock as we can. That's far more important, you know, than trying to move the ball downfield on what, in my opinion, was a very, very low percentage throw anyway by Carson Palmer, because Fitzgerald just wasn't open on that play. So, look, I didn't like that call, but I bet there are some paragraphs I've written in my life that Bruce Arians doesn't like either. So, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Safe travels to Denver. I know you'll be at the Patriots, Broncos. Keep an eye on the Cardinals and Panthers. Appreciate the time as always, Peter. Thanks.
All the best, Brad. Thank you.
There's Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback. Check it out, mmqb.com. Great content that Peter puts together, not just on Mondays, but 7 days a week with his terrific staff. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're on Fox Sports Arizona on the television side as well, and we're back with more after this timeout. Good stuff with Peter. And if you missed any part of the Peter King interview, I think we should just use that on the TV show tonight, too, all the way through. That's on Fox Sports Arizona. That is tonight. This show is over there. Highlights, if we can find enough highlights, fill a half hour. Lots of times it's not easy to do. In all seriousness, that'll air tonight at 6, following the Suns-Pacers game. I'm not even going to say anything about where the Suns are. We probably need to do something on them, I'm thinking tomorrow, because they're going to get drilled again tonight. And even if they don't get drilled, it's just impossible to watch them. I even found myself, because I take pride in this job every now and then, to watch a little bit of them on Sunday against Minnesota while the Broncos game was on. I flipped over there during breaks. And they're down like 20, then they're down 30, and it's Minnesota who lost 9 in a row, and it's minus 30 in Minneapolis. And you just can't script this stuff. When Jeff Hornacek writes a book, here's the thing, guys. We all have a book. All of us. You have a book inside of you. I got a book. I got a pretty thick book inside of me. If I decide to put it all down, I've been making notes and starting and stopping and starting and stopping. And I think I got a pretty good book. All of us have a good book if we want to tell the story. Jeff Hornacek's book of the chapter of When I Was the Coach of the Suns. I don't know if that's a thin book, you know? I don't know how thick of a book it's going to be. But man, you just couldn't. It's minus 30 and you're losing by 30 to Minnesota. And it's Sunday and anybody who's in Arizona is not even watching you other than me. I'm the loser. I'm concerned about a few things about Sunday's game. It's Tuesday. As the week goes along, we'll bring more and more voices, and I'll take this a little more serious. I'm not going to sit there and beat my head against the wall on Tuesday for a game that's on Sunday. Justin Bethel, that is a problem, okay? Is it a problem that he got picked on repeatedly in the game against Green Bay, or has it been a pattern here over the last few weeks? And you've got to grow through it. He's a Pro Bowl player, just not a Pro Bowl corner. Okay? And that's not being harsh. It's just a fact that teams are going after him. So when you're sitting there starting to look at Carolina, and I don't think they have the greatest core of receivers, except their tight end. Jericho Cotchery is a guy who couldn't hang on to the ball. We know about Ted Ginn. By the way, anybody, Ted Ginn's a nice enough guy when he was here. But please hang on to the football. He fumbled one the other day on a punt against Seattle. That's what he does. So I wouldn't say it's a wide receiving core that I look at and say, oh my gosh, but Cam Newton makes all those players look terrific. And look, there's a reason why they're in the position they're in the NFC and the season they've had. Their division is soft. We wouldn't dispute that. I think the Cardinals have played a more difficult schedule. The Cardinals have had a more difficult road this year. But look, they're at home. They're the team that made it through unscathed, basically, other than one time. And Cam is really good, and Jonathan Stewart's terrific. You know, they can just turn around and maul you. So the defense of the Cardinals, especially up front, making Cam Newton uncomfortable. But if Cam Newton is going to run, he can hurt you too. He's one of those guys. He's not just going to sit back there and do nothing. When he does his first down stuff, I hope somebody just drills him right in the chest. Of course, it'll be a penalty in this day and age in the NFL, but you know that's what I'm looking at. It's just one player. If you're going to start looking at things and matchups and get all excited and get geeked up and planning your parties and getting your face painted about getting to the Super Bowl and trying to get through Carolina, that's got to be a concern on that side of the football. It just does. Sports360AZ.com. It doesn't mean he can't overcome it. And all week long, they're going to deflect it. And they'll talk about the experience, and he's better, and he's this, and he's that. And you just don't know until he gets on the field and actually proves it and shuts guys like me up. That's how this works when he gets to this point. Again, my expectation all along has been Super Bowl or bust with this team. There's going to be really interesting decisions in the offseason with this team, just seeing what's gone on here in the last few weeks at certain spots. But the offseason, let's just put that on the back burner for about 3 weeks. We also have National Letter of Intent Day coming up in 2 weeks. And those of you that have followed us since day one, we take pride and we do a very good job. Our staff does a terrific job. I don't brag them up that much because they don't like it. They don't deserve it. Neither do I. But when it comes to recruiting and getting stuff done, we've done a very good job and continue to do so. We are a destination. And if you're into recruiting, high school, college, on Letter of Intent Day around the state of Arizona and who's coming in with the Sun Devils and the Wildcats and the Lumberjacks and even Arizona Christian University, the Firestorm, Donnie Yann is doing a great job. There's four colleges here in our state that are taking players and continuing their careers. So I'll have plenty of content on that. The number one recruit in our state, Byron Murphy, is going to announce later this week. And I think it's going to be a good day for Arizona State. That's just me. I don't have anybody telling me that directly, but I have a feeling that Arizona State may get through a clean sweep. Of course, we're 16 days away, and we're expecting that some of the big-name recruits that have already said yes to ASU are going to stay with their commitment. Nothing surprised me when we get to this point. Nothing would surprise me if a player decommitted from Arizona State or U of A. It happens. Can they hang in there? And if they are able to secure Byron Murphy, they would have a clean sweep of the top prospects in the state this year. So you can keep an eye out for that. The recruiting roundup with Jared Cohen and Jason Jules, must-see content, and it's up on our website. It'll be up later today at sports360az.com. Thanks for being with us. Again, our content's at sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. If you missed any part of today's show, including Peter King, it'll be up on the podcast. Just watch the loop over and over and over as well. It's there for 24 hours for you to check out.